Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Why would God's number one angel turn traitor, knowing he could never defeat the all-powerful Creator? It's a mystery that goes a long way toward explaining all the evil around us. For a look back, and I mean way back, stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Erwin Lutzer is in a series called What is God Up To? Asking some really hard questions. As we'll see, many of our struggles have roots in a greater struggle, that between God and his finest angelic creation, Lucifer.
Now my topic today is Lucifer's greatest blunder. In the beginning, as we know, there was God, as we learned last week. And we talked about God being alone and the greatness of God, his immensity, his incredible immensity. Did you notice the article in the Trib this past week? Astronomers discover the largest galaxy ever. It said that they discovered a galaxy 60 times the size of the Milky Way. It embraces more than 100 trillion stars. Did you know it's possible to have a star named after you? I think we could make money that way. Just tell people we'll name a star after you. Just pay us $100. But notice this. You know that light travels at 186,000 miles a second. In a year, it travels roughly 6 trillion miles. Now think about that. And this galaxy is 6 million light years in diameter. So if you want to find out how far it is in diameter, what you do is you take 6 trillion and you multiply it by 6 million. I didn't, because I know I probably would make a mistake. And when it comes to arithmetic, I've always said, as long as I'm right 90% of the time, who cares about the other 5%? It's not my great strength. But I want you to notice that the scientists say this is an organized mass of light and energy. And here's the good news, folks. God is bigger than this galaxy. It is unthinkable that he would create galaxies and universes that are greater than he is. They say that the universe is infinite. Perhaps that's possible. If the universe is infinite, God is beyond the infinite. You know what I think? I don't think he's worried about the budget deficit in Washington. I really don't think that's any big deal to God. He's not even worried about the budget deficit at Moody Church. You know, that's no big deal to him either. He's interested in it, but all of these things that concern us are really of no great moment to our almighty sovereign God. And when he decided to create, he already knew that he would be putting into motion a series of events, a series of dominoes that would produce eventually the Holocaust, that would cause child abuse and all of the injustices that plague the world. So what is it that God is up to? What is he doing that he would think would justify a planet with this incredible amount of hurt throughout all the years of war, misunderstanding, hatred, and grief? You know, of course, that God's first agenda was to create spirit beings. We call them angels. They are personal. They are personal because they have intelligence. They have sensibility. They have will. They could choose against God. They are powerful, able to travel from one end of this planet to another very, very quickly. In fact, that's also true of demons, fallen angels. Did you know that there's a university in Texas where there is a man who concentrates and meditates at a certain time that a guru in India also concentrates and meditates, and they send messages back and forth, and they think it's the power of the mind? Well, if this is happening, I want you to know that it is not the powerful minds that we have. It is because there are evil spirits in the world that can travel that quickly from one continent to another and bring messages to people who are into the occult. We find also that when God decided to create angels, they were plentiful. There are millions of them, tens of millions, possibly there is one for every one of the stars that we have talked about, the hundreds of trillions of stars. And the greatest of all of these beings that God created evidently was Lucifer. And we'd like to look at his career as it is outlined for us in the 28th chapter of the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 28, the prophet of the Old Testament, was speaking about the king of Tyre, and suddenly he ends up speaking about a spirit being that is awesome and beautiful. Stage one in his career is his creation, Ezekiel 28. I want you to notice his appearance, first of all, is given. Verse 11, "And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation over the king of Tyre, and say to him, Thus says the Lord." You say, well, Pastor Lutzer, this is a reference to the king of Tyre, not to Lucifer. But if you read it, you soon find out that there's no way that this can refer simply to a king. Behind the king of Tyre is Satan. And that's why the writer begins to say things that could never possibly be true of any man. And that's why commentators and theologians throughout the centuries have said that this is a reference not to a man, but ultimately to Lucifer. Notice his appearance. "You had the seal of perfection," this is the middle of verse 12, "full of wisdom and perfect in beauty." Think about that. You see, God could never create a being that was as beautiful as God himself is. Any being that he creates has to be a lesser being. But evidently, Lucifer was the best that God could possibly do. Perfect in wisdom and beauty. What about his location? Verse 13, "You were in Eden," not the Garden of Eden with its vegetation, but this is a mineral Eden with all kinds of beautiful stones. "Every precious stone was your covering, every ruby, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper." All of these beautiful accompaniments were given to Lucifer. I want you to notice his responsibility in verse 14. "You were the anointed cherub who covers." Some translations say, "You are the cherub who spreads out his wings." Reminds us of the ark, doesn't it? Do you realize that Lucifer had some very interesting priestly duties? I happen to think that his assignment was planet Earth. I know that Milton has told us that Satan was tossed out of heaven, and that's true. But he was tossed out of heaven when he said, "I want to be like the Most High. I will ascend into heaven." God threw him out. But it may well be that his territory, his sphere of influence, was already then planet Earth, which God was making ready for a tremendous drama in which all kinds of issues were going to be settled and played out. And here he is, he has the responsibility of being a priest, in effect, taking all the worship, all the adoration of the beings, the angelic beings beneath him, and making sure that these items of praise and the works that they do go directly to God. He was like a mediator, making sure that everything on the planet contributed to the glory of God. Notice his privileged position. It says, "You are on the mountain of God." Wherever you have the mountain in the Bible, you always have political influence, and he had that. "You walked in the midst of the stones of fire," it says in verse 14, implying that he had immediate, direct access to God. What a place of great beauty and privilege. We don't know how long it was that Lucifer continued in this responsibility. Maybe it was for millions of years. We do not know. But to stop to think of the realization that at that period of time, the entire universe was a place of great harmony and unity. Because there was only one will in the universe, and that was the will and the purpose of God, and all of creation fell in line with God's intention, his glory, and his purpose. Not only was there harmony, but there was also a sense of fulfillment. You see, it's impossible to think that God would create angels without giving them assignments. They had assignments undoubtedly throughout the whole universe, and the entire universe was fulfilled because every individual angel was doing exactly the task that God had outlined. What a sense of beauty and harmony. Well, that's his creation. Secondly, I want to say a word about his fall. His fall. It says in verse 15, "You were blameless in all your ways from the day in which you were created." And then follows one of the most puzzling, probing statements in all of the Bible. One that has vexed the minds of theologians throughout the centuries and taxes our imagination and our theological acumen. It says, "Until unrighteousness was found in you." Why would unrighteousness be found in a perfect being that did not have a sin nature? Here he was created with wisdom and beauty and obedience, an obedient nature. And then suddenly, and we can't explain it, it is as if it was spontaneous combustion. Suddenly, unrighteousness is found in God's perfect creation. We may not understand the whys and the hows, but we do have in the text here an indication as to how this happened. What was the cause of the unrighteousness? We know it was pride, because Paul says in 1 Timothy 3, when you have a new convert in the church, do not elevate him to become an elder, because he may be lifted up with pride and fall into the condemnation of the devil. In Isaiah, we have a parallel passage, and it says seven times that Lucifer said, "I will ascend. I will ascend into heaven. I will be like the Most High. I will, I will, I will." Friend, I hope that you understand that we're in some deep theological water. But in this series of messages, what I am doing is trying to uncover the big picture. For a gift of any amount, we're making available for you a booklet I've written entitled God's Hidden Agenda. Because these are the kinds of questions that we are all asking. And perhaps there are times as we struggled with these questions, we wondered what the biblical answer was. So for a gift of any amount, we're making this booklet available for you. Let me give you the title again, God's Hidden Agenda. We try to uncover God's purpose from eternity to eternity and ask ourselves the question, where do we fit within that scheme?
Next time on Running to Win, Erwin Lutzer will further detail the devil's great error, which left him diametrically opposed to all that God stands for. This has been part one of Lucifer's greatest blunder, the second of eight messages in our series, What is God Up To? Running to Win is all about helping you find God's roadmap for your race of life. Pastor Lutzer has written a booklet on God's hidden agenda. It's to help us uncover His purpose when we struggle with life's questions. God's Hidden Agenda will be sent as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. For details, call 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.